Welcome to another edition of Keller City Limits, the podcast covering everything Keller, from politics, sports, and anything in between. Your host for the broadcast, Doug Miller.
You're too small to play ball, Coach Jackson used to scream. He said I'd never make the team, but I didn't give up on that.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Miller, and welcome to Keller City Limits, episode number 3. This is part 2 of our interview with the mayor of Keller, Pat McGrail. In this episode, we talked to the mayor about the town center TIF, the new city manager, and the mayor takes us through a day in his life. He also tells us what everybody's been waiting to hear is whether or not he plans to run again in the spring. I'd like to take this time to again thank Mayor Pat McGrail. And I hope you enjoy this episode of Keller City Limits. Please check back soon for our next episode.
And that brings to the next question about my favorite subject since I
must
moved
be the TIF.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Next year's budget has this statement in it from the city manager.
Okay.
The delayed private development in the district will more than likely create a need for the general fund to subsidize the district for the next few years. My question to you is, will the TIF ever be self-sufficient?
Well, let me give you two answers on that. Number one, I certainly hope so. And secondly, I think so. But it's going to take time. It really is. And I think, again, that's why it is so important that we get these guidelines put together so it's something that the citizens can accept and be comfortable with. And then we become more aggressive in marketing the town center and we get that development on North Side 1709. When the town center develops, especially the northern part of 1709, the TIF will not be an issue. It's just a question of when's it going to happen. So there's no doubt we're going to have a few years where we're going to have to bite the bullet on this thing, and we're going to have to make up for the shortfall. But I think ultimately, yes, no doubt about it, as town center develops, it will pay for itself.
In years past,
yes,
the deficits that were being run in the TIF were kind of always hidden. You had to kind of search for them. You had to do your own math, come up with the revenues and the expenditures. Mr. O'Leary,
yeah,
this year, I mean, it's right there in black and white.
Yeah, and that's the way, in my mind, we need to run this city. You know, basically, we're here, again, be it Dan, myself, or anybody in the city council, we're here to represent the citizens. So there's no reason we should be hiding anything from anybody. That's what it's all about.
Since we've been talking about our new city manager, Dan O'Leary seems to be a no-nonsense guy.
He's a great man. I'm just so happy to have him.
Can you kind of compare and contrast his style to our previous city manager?
Well, that's tough. They're two totally different personalities. Lyle was, you know, basically a hands-on kind of person as far as the day-to-day operation and administration of, you know, basically Lyle had the final say-so on everything, you know, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, but he was kind of a micromanager, to be very honest with you. But he really wasn't a people person. And Dan's just the opposite. Dan's a delegator. And that's why we have the structure we have now. We've got two really strong assistant city managers. I'm so excited about both these guys.
Now, but those are new hires within the last 8 months or so?
Yeah, 8 months. Yeah, probably so. Yeah. And again, you know, that was all part of the challenge because, as you all know, when I walked in the door, I had no city manager. And I had an assistant city manager who had no defined responsibilities or duties. So, you know, basically, myself and the prior council, number one, we had to go through the process of finding the right city manager. We went out, we found ourselves a really good search firm, and we were so fortunate, believe it or not, we ended up with a search firm that's based right here in Keller. We had 120-some applicants, and by the time we called through them all, we ended up, I think we had about 24 finalists, not 24. Dan was by far the best. I'm just so pleased with him. He's done a great job. And since then, we brought in two really strong assistants. We got Steve Polasek out of Southlake. And Southlake, let me tell you, they were really disappointed to lose him because he was a key player in Southlake. And he came over here to do exactly what he was doing in Southlake. And we've got Chris downstairs, Chris Fuller. He came out of Colleyville, again, doing the same function he did in Colleyville. And they're both
really And then great Chris people. Handles community development
and economic development.
And then Steve handles
Parks and Rec, the public library, the senior center, and all our community type activities. He works with the Yard Board and Chamber of Commerce and all the whatever, you know. But he's a great guy, and they're both just really super people.
And
Dan continues to take care of the I don't want to say important things, but he takes care of the public safety, the police, the fire, the human resources, those type of things.
And then the way the structure is that the department heads now report to the assistant city managers, and then they report to Dan.
Yes, sir, just like a business.
And then Dan reports to the city council.
Yes.
And the mayor.
Yes. Kind of. I hate to say it, but to me, it's a business structure, and the city is a business. You know, I don't think people always think of it that way, but, you know, we're talking a $68 million budget. We're talking 375 full-time employees. To me, it's a business. So in my mind, we need to run it like a business. You know, and I'm going back to my days of American Airlines, because that's what we do. You have to have a structure. You have to run it like a business, and that's what we're doing. The last, what I call piece to the puzzle, our economic development director. And we're just really fortunate to get this guy. He's a great guy. Nah, poor guy, he's got a lot of work ahead of him, though, because we basically haven't had an economic development program for some years. But I'm just amazed with what he's already accomplished in the short time he's been here. And I'm really looking forward to, it's exciting because here we are a year and a half into me being here. We've got a new fire station getting ready to come online. The truck just rolled into town last week. The ambulances are, basically getting ready to be ordered. The library project, as you know, is moving forward. If you saw the presentation last night, someday we're going to have water in the tire up on the hill here. Road projects. I mean, everywhere you go, we've got road projects. The first year I was here, we did more road projects than we've probably seen in the last 4 years. And then this year, we're doubling what we did last year. I mean, just a lot of great things going on. Parks and Rec, I'm just really excited about it.
Just closed on the new park in North Keller.
Yeah, North Keller, yeah. So I'm just excited about the direction we're going. And all this, and we still were able to maintain the tax rate and provide all the things, in all honesty, more than the people seen in the past.
And that brings us right into the next question. Okay. This year's the 08-09 budget. Mr. O'Leary had put some pretty scary predictions.
But again, that's what I like about him. He's an honest man. He doesn't try and make things what they're not.
You were here in 02. You were on the city council in 02. We were hurting.
Yes, we were.
We instituted hiring freezes.
Yes, we did.
We instituted wage freezes. What steps are you and the city manager and the current city council taking to try to hold off having to do such drastic measures if the economy does slow down again?
Well, I think this year going into the budget, that was our number one priority, because of the uncertain economic times and our concern about what does the future hold. So we wanted to be as conservative as possible. And this is by far the most conservative budget I've ever seen in all my years at Keller. I mean, since the early 90s, I've never seen a budget that would begin to compare with this. I think we had a total increase in the budget of like 2%, but we still didn't cut anything out either. We've continued in this year's budget to provide all the services that the citizens have become accustomed to and they expect. But there's no fluff. There's no nothing in there. We added one person this year. There's one additional head in the budget this year, period. And that is a part-time employee over in the Senior Citizen Center. That is it. That is the only additional position.
So the budget's tight. So in case there is a downturn, we're not adding a bunch this year to have to turn around and take it away next year.
Exactly. And more important, equipment, there's no equipment. In the past year, sometimes we buy things that they're nice to have, but do we really have to have them? This year, it's like, I don't want to know if it's nice to have. Do we have to have it? If we don't have to have it, let's not do it. But more importantly, our projections, it's the sales tax projection, just like the TIF. That's how we got in trouble with the TIF. Because maybe we expect too much or we project too high. We didn't allow ourselves to. We're very conservative this year with our projections, even the sales tax. I'm excited about sales tax, because there's a lot of concern about sales tax. But every quarter when we get our sales tax report, it's higher than projected, which is where we want it to be. Better to be higher than lower.
When Keller needs a pickup truck or Keller needs a backhoe, the city writes a check. We don't finance it.
No.
Where the school district, one of the problems with the bond this year is that they're financing technology items, where Keller always tries to pay upfront in cash for that.
Yeah, it's really just, in my mind, it's the right way to do business. Now, in all fairness, there are some big ticket items, like, for example, the fire truck, when you're talking an $800,000 piece of equipment.
Right.
But the average life expectancy of a fire truck is 10 years. So we will do, a CO for something like that. But as you say, the pickup trucks, the front end loaders, the whatever, that's paid for out of the general fund.
So if there is a downturn, we're not paying for pickup trucks and police cars. You know, they're all paid for with cash. Right. Can you take us through a day of the life of being the mayor of Keller?
How much time do you have? You know, when I ran, I said that Keller needed a full-time mayor, and I meant that sincerely. You know, the town has grown so much, and there are just so many issues that in my mind, we needed somebody that could dedicate themselves full-time to the city. I'd been retired 2 years, and honestly, I was getting bored, so I was ready to get involved again, and there was enough people that came to me and encouraged me to run again, and surprisingly, some of them were the ones that helped get my predecessor elected, you know. But anyhow, I really said it, and I meant it, and I've proven it to be true because on a given day, I'll spend 8-10 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Take us through your day. Typical. Yesterday was a city council day.
Okay.
Well, there was a city council meeting yesterday.
Yeah, go back, open up my BlackBerry here. This is what I live off of in all honesty. I just, from one day to the next, I go in here and I see, okay, what am I doing next? Where am I going? Oh. Well, you know, for example, on Monday, my first meeting on Monday was 9 o'clock, and I had 10 o'clock, and I had 11 o'clock, and then I had lunch at noon, and then I had a meeting at 2 o'clock, I had a meeting at 4 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock, I had the what we call Tarrant County Mayor's Council. That's down in Tarrant County Courthouse, and what that is, it's each and every mayor in Tarrant County.
What's your yearly salary for being the mayor?
Well, you get a free lunch once in a while,
but it's a purely volunteer position.
Yeah, there's no salary whatsoever.
But one of your campaign themes was when you were running was that you were going to be a full-time mayor.
Yes, sir.
Last night you sent me an email from at midnight.
I was still sitting in a work session when I did
downstairs at city council.
We were reviewing the Unified Development Code. Yeah.
So you have some pretty full days.
Yeah, I do. My most days start at 7:30 in the morning with a breakfast meeting wherever, whatever group, because a lot of the business people and the even elected officials like myself, most of them do have a full-time job. So you'll find we have a lot of meetings at 7:30 in the morning because most people need it by 9 o'clock, be on their way to wherever. And then I just kind of go from there one meeting to the next.
You kind of make the chamber breakfasts or the luncheons in the Rotary Club.
All the chamber functions, the Rotary, the Lions Club. We've got the Northeast Leadership Forum, the Metroport Cities Partnership, the Northeast Tarrant Mayor's Council. It just goes on and on.
The last question I have for you, probably one of the most important.
See, I'll never finish my day.
Let's go back.
I'm kidding you. When you ask me what it would give a day, but it does. It just goes on.
And
then, you know, normally in the evening, we'll have a whatever meeting. And then weekends, on a given weekend, I'll have 6 or 8 functions on any given weekend.
And your wife?
Well, I'm very fortunate because she's very supportive. So on a weekend, all these different functions, you know, they're more social type functions. She goes with me.
She attends with you.
Yeah, which really makes it great.
And your grandkids are in town, are they?
Yes.
Matter
of fact, that's the only reason I go to story time. My youngest granddaughter, we take her to story time, the wife and I, every Wednesday. Yeah, at 10 o'clock, we go to story time. But it gives me a chance to interact with some of the other people in the library and see what's going on. And then I go to the senior center and... Yeah.
Last week, something that I didn't even have planned to ask you, last week you went to Washington State?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, you went to Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., yeah. Participated in a week-long program for emergency management, you know, and most people don't realize how important this position is. You know, I don't mean it the way it sounds, but as the chief elected official, I am ultimately responsible for a lot of things that people don't even realize. And that's why in Austin... Sometimes I get discouraged, like, for example, in 03 when people don't take the time to vote because it is such an important position. And there's a lot of responsibility goes with it that people don't understand. But you know.
And it was emergency management in case of floods, tornadoes.
You name it. Exactly. Yeah. We spent one entire week talking about emergency management programs and procedures and exactly as you said. You know, I know Senator got here and we had 6 weeks of nothing but rain and flooding like we've never seen, a 100-year event. And I was right in the middle of it all. And we spent my first six weeks in office just dealing with people. I was standing in people's living rooms and the water was up to my ankles. I'm standing there watching water run through people's house. I mean, it was unbelievable. And here, just within a few weeks before I went to school, same thing. We had the weather coming, in the coast through Houston. There was a point in time for a few days where we thought it was going to come right over to Metroplex. So we had an emergency preparedness program in place. We were planning. I could take you and show you a lot of people in Keller. We were delivering sandbags to their houses because we knew that they had the potential for flooding.
So being proactive.
Proactive, exactly. Exactly.
Since you touched on the flooding.
Yeah.
It touched a lot of people's property and their lives.
It did.
And I know, being on P&Z, I think there's a board that meets, I think, the same night as P&Z does, because they're always meeting upstairs when we're meeting downstairs.
It's the Drainage Task Force. That's something I created.
And they've been meeting for a year now, a little over a year.
Since the flood, yeah. I think I first created that shortly after flood, probably in June, maybe July at the latest. And yeah, and that's all they do is deal with the drainage issues, and hopefully...
Are we checking off?
Yes, yes. We've actually accomplished a lot, but there's still a lot more to be done, and honestly, a lot of it's going to take money.
And so we look for a bond that possibly have to happen?
There's a possibility it could happen, yes. As a matter of fact, we touched on it briefly last night in the city council meeting. We talked about, I want to put together a citizens advisory committee, and I hate to even compare ourselves, but it's kind of like what the school district did, but this will be a true citizens advisory committee whereby we're going to talk about some of the things that need to be done in Keller. There's still a lot of drainage issues to be dealt with, and it's going to take a lot of money to do it. So hopefully we'll never have to go through what we went through in the past.
Will there be an election, or will you think it'll be a CO?
No. This will be something that we'll present to the voters. If, in fact, the committee makes that recommendation. But I know, you know, for example, Parks and Rec Board, they feel like there's a lot of things they'd like to see done, you know, additional land purchase and park projects.
So the Citizens Advisory Committee would look at more than just the flooding issue. It'd look at the parkland acquisition that I know that the Parks Board has been talking about over the last couple of years.
Exactly. We would have staff from all the different areas involved in this, along with all the citizens. And the staff would come in and, for example, Parks and Rec say, okay, the Park Board put together a program. Here's what they'd like to see, you know, be it the land acquisition, this project, that project. Public Works is going to say, because of the flooding, we had the Drainage Task Force the mayor put together. This is their recommendation. This is what it's going to cost. Public Works, again, would talk about infrastructure needs, you know, long-term road projects, water, sewer, to whatever, you know. I mean,
even though the new fire station isn't open, there's also a need for another fire station before that one even opens.
Ultimately, yes, we're going to have to look at one up in North Keller. Now, I don't want to get too into this, but I've had a lot of negotiations or discussions with Westlake. I'd still like to consider us doing a joint use facility up there. As you well know, when I was on council years back, we did a joint use on a water tower.
Mm-hmm.
We had a need for a water tower up in North Keller. They needed a water tower. So the logical thing was, let's go together and let's build one tower to supply both cities. So, you know, you basically share the cost. It's just a smart thing to do. Westlake, as we speak, they have a fire station sitting up there. And they've got a full complement of people, you know, that are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which you have to have. They've got a fire truck and they've got an ambulance, and they don't do anything. I mean, I don't mean it the way it sounds, but it's costing the city of Westlake a lot of money to staff this thing. It's a need they have, but they feel like maybe they're spending a lot of money. So if we went together and had a fire station that served not only Westlake but North Keller.
Kind of like what we do with the jail, do with police protection for Westlake, just kind of combine resources.
So the mayor, Scott Bradley, and I had discussions basically since that I got elected, and we were both in agreement that it was just a smart thing to do. We had our city managers working on it. Since then, we've had a change of city manager here. They've had a change of city manager there, and now they've got a new mayor up there. But as we speak, within the next 2 weeks, the mayor of Westlake and myself and two city managers, we're going to sit down at lunch, and we're going to talk about things like the fire station, some other common things that maybe we can work together on.
And so, as you've stated earlier, and because I have other conversations with you, that you're in constant communication with our mayors around Oscar, Trevino.
There isn't a week goes by that we don't all, you know, see or interact with one another, talk to. We all have each other's cell phone. They'll call me a question about what are we doing. Yeah.
Because Keller's kind of taken a hit in the last couple of years of not wanting to work with its neighbors.
But it's so important. We have to be a team.
The public perception is that we don't, but the reality is...
Well, there was a certain amount of truth to it, but I've really worked hard to change that. For whatever reason, maybe we didn't participate in what a lot of, you know, for example, the school district in Austin. When I was on council way back when, we used to meet every so often with the school district, because to me that's so important, that the city and school district work together and we understand each other's needs and, you know, direction. And we got away from that. Now, since I've been elected, I've kind of resurrected that again, and basically in my first 2 years in office, we'll have had four meetings, you know, two each year between the council and the school board. But it's so important that we communicate and work together and support each other. Harry Jeffries down in Watauga. I've known Harry, the mayor down there. I've known the guy for like 38 years because we both started American Airlines the same time. I felt there was no doubt we needed a traffic light down there at the intersection of Whitley and Tarrant Parkway. So one of the first things I did, get that light down there. Well, one of those four corners belongs to Watauga. So I went there and I says, Harry, I need some money. And he's like, for what? That's the one we're putting up a light down there. I said, but one-fourth of it belongs to you. So, and he did. He paid one-fourth of the cost. You know, as we speak, we're getting ready. I'm getting off subject here, but I could talk all night about it. I love this town. We're getting ready to put a light up there at Johnson and then Borland because it's such a bad intersection. We just needed that light. I was up there today checking. It's flashing. The reason it's flashing, we just want people to be aware it's there and get
before
used to seeing
it
before we actually activate it. So within a week, it'll be running.
You talk about the school district. There's a lot of contention back and forth between the school district and the city within the last year over the stadium renovation and over the money
that's
TIF.
Communication. To me, communication. And that was a good example, the communication. But just the communication wasn't there.
So we think that's... There's a lot more communications going on back and forth between so we can resolve some of these issues before they come up.
The park issue had never been an issue. But basically what happened was... There was apparently the school district was led to believe that the parking wouldn't be an issue. And when it got to the council level, it was an issue because it was something that needed to be addressed. I mean, I've seen you in many a game, you and I both. I've had season tickets for high school since I moved here in 89. I've never missed a game. And we both know parking is always an issue.
But the big question of the day,
okay.
It's a question I've asked you probably 20 times in the last 18 months, you know, as soon as you got elected.
Yep.
Are you going to run again?
Oh, absolutely. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I haven't been involved in this town as long as I have, and feeling like I was a part of us getting to where we're at, be it good or bad, who wants to walk away now? And especially, you know, I walked away once, and it really was a hard thing to do, but I did it. And I never thought I'd get involved again, but after 4 years and kind of see the direction we were going and not being happy with, and so many people calling me and asking me to get involved again, and now that I'm involved and I'm so excited about what we've accomplished this last year, year and a half, that why would I want to walk away now? Because the job is not done. We're just getting started. But I'm so excited about the direction we're going and the things that, you know, lie ahead in the future that, yeah, I want to stick around and continue the mission and be a part of it. And in all honesty, I'm getting a lot of good feedback. I'm sure there's people out there that aren't happy with what I'm doing. But unfortunately, they don't tell me that. So maybe there's not. I don't know. But I know there's a lot of people coming to me, and I'm hearing a lot of good things. People are happy with the direction we're going. They like what they see and what they hear. And more importantly, they know now that they have an open government. They know that, in fact, we're here for one reason, to represent them. And we're trying our best to represent them, give them what they want to see, and at the same time keep them informed as to what we're doing. So I want to continue to be a part of it. I hope the citizens allow me to do it. But absolutely, I'm going to run. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you, Doug.
And
I appreciate all you do, too. I mean, really, we need people like you, and, you know, that's what keeps us all on the right path, right?
Okay.
So,
thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Today, the music is again brought to you by the PodSafe Music Network, David Kraut, Don't Listen, and can be found at his website, davidkraut.com.
Too small to play ball, Coach Jackson used to scream. Said I'd never make the team, but I didn't give up on that dream. I lived in that old gym, spent all summer on the court, up and down that parquet floor, until the day Coach gave me a uniform. Well, he was the first in a long line to get it wrong the first time. Like every skeptic, every cynic, every small-time smart-ass critic, he taught me one lesson, don't listen. Every insult, every slight, every stick of verbal dynamite taught me one lesson, don't listen. Kim was 18, the prom queen, way out of my league. That's what everyone believed. But she saw something they didn't see in every 10 years, she's still here. Her diamond ring is my grandma's. And everyone that got it wrong likes to tell me they knew all along. Well, funny how people forget. They thought the opposite, yeah. Every skeptic, every cynic, Every small-town smart-ass critic taught me one lesson. Don't listen. Every insult, every slight, every stick of bubble dynamite taught me one lesson. Don't listen. Some people spend their lives on the sidelines. Never try, cause I can't survive the criticism. The toughest critic you'll find is the one in your mind. You don't have to listen. Every skeptic, every cynic, every small-time smart-ass critic, learn this lesson. Don't listen. Every insult, every slight, every stick of verbal dynamite will teach you one lesson. Don't listen. Yeah, learn this lesson. Don't listen.